Paul explains the reason why we need to flee idolatry, and the reason I told you, the idol is nothing of itself. But it can be used by Satan to lead you into sin. Especially, he's talking about those that have just come to Christ. Brand new believers that could be stumbled.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once owned his own Kung Fu studio, and it was tempting to make that success his life's primary focus. But over many years of serving the Lord, Raul has experienced the joy of life lived with Christ at the center. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD of Raul's story, call 800-634-9165. Today, as Raul continues our series on the danger of unrestrained sin, we'll get a cautionary word against modern-day idolatry. You'll see that while you've probably never bowed down to a statue, you may have idols that are causing you to neglect your relationship with the Lord. Stay with us for a challenge to evaluate who or what gets the bulk of your time and energy and the central place in your heart. Let's listen in now as Raul Reese begins today's lesson, The Dangers of Idolatry. Join us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14.
We have kind of a lesson that most people would say, well, why are we studying this lesson? It's not for us. But the more I read it this weekend, the more Paul explains it, it fits even in our own generation because there are so many people that are really caught up in the sin of idolatry. We're going to be speaking on the dangers of idolatry. Paul the Apostle in chapter 10, beginning with verse 14 through verses 22. He says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as a wise man, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion in the blood of Jesus Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? That's in reference to the priest. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol anything? Rather, that the things which the heathens sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? It is so important that we understand who we are worshiping. And it's amazing how people are so devoted to a person or a thing. And this is what Paul's talking about. There are people that worship stones, people that worship gold or silver. And some of these statues, they even have eyes and ears, and they have feet and hands. And then the psalmist declares that these that have hands and eyes and ears, which cannot see, cannot hear, mouth that cannot speak, are actually idols that have been made in the image of that person. They can't help you. They can't hear you. And so when it comes to the truth of the gospel, we must speak the truth about God, because we're dealing with eternity. We want for sure no one to be deceived when they're dying by compromising my position in Jesus Christ and agreeing with them that it's okay to pray to Mary or to pray to Buddha or to pray to Allah or to pray to Krishna. Because these are no gods. There is only one God, one true and living God. And that's the reason that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that you and I could be set free and we could be in heaven with Him. And so it's not really insulting people or being antagonistic toward people, but we must speak the truth about God. And it's important that when we do speak about God, even as Paul the Apostle here, he's dealing in a culture of idolatry. He's dealing with not only Jewish culture, he's dealing with Greek culture. He's there in Corinth, and these Corinthians that once were heathens, now they're believers, but at the same time, they find themselves under pressure because of all the idolatry going on in Corinth. 1,000 prostitutes coming down from the top of the hill down to the bottom of the hill to seduce the young men of the city. At the same time, in the temple of Aphrodite, there were these priests that would receive sacrifices, meat sacrifices. And so the meat that was given to the priest after he would offer the sacrifices to his deity, he would have not only meat left over for himself, but the rest of the meats, he would take them down to the butcher shop and he would sell it. And then the people would come and buy, and the butcher shop, they would buy their steaks. And there was a problem because some of these people going to the butcher shop were Christians. And Paul is making a proclamation here that some of the meat that was offered to idols was literally offered to demons. So what does that mean? That if I am a Christian and I go to the butcher shop and I buy this piece of meat that has been offered to idols or demons, do I, in the process of cooking it and then eating it, do I become possessed by the demon? No. The problem is the weakness of my brother who I am eating with may be stumbled, whether it be eating or drinking, you see? This is what Paul is dealing with. But he also deals with the problem that these are not just idols. These behind these idols that are actually made of wood, hay, and they're gold and silver, these people literally worship demons. Demons that are behind these deities. And so we have to be careful as believers, remembering that even as Jesus Christ spoke concerning the communion table. And this is why there in verses 14 to 22, he's actually going to let us know not only the situation that when you and I as believers come to the communion table before we break the bread and the cup, there has to be a time of examination. Why? Because when you take the cup and I take the cup, and then you take the bread and I take the bread and we eat it and we drink it, what happens? We become one with Christ. You see? And that's what happened with these people worshiping idols or demons. You would become one with your pagan god. And so you have to be careful. Paul explains the reason why we need to flee idolatry. And the reason I told you, the idol is nothing of itself, but it can be used by Satan to lead you into sin. Especially he's talking about those that have just come to Christ. Brand new believers that could be stumbled. And so, as believers, we need to be careful that we don't make anyone stumble in our freedom or liberty that Christ has given to us. Whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, all has to be done to the glory of God. But look how Paul starts his letter in chapter 10, beginning with verse 14 again. Therefore, beloved, flee from idolatry. He says, I speak as a wise man. Judge for yourselves what I say. If I'm not right, judge it. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion in the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Yes. For we, though many, are one bread, one body. For we all partake of the one bread. That is, we become one. Observe, Israel, after the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar, speaking of the priesthood? They live off the sacrifices. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything? Rather, that the thing which the heathen sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. Notice he explains it. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than he? What is idolatry, by the way? Bob Dylan wrote a song many years ago, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." Tremendous song, literally. Because it is true, you have to serve somebody. Somebody is serving someone or something. And sometimes as believers, we don't think like this, but we are sitting here, and even though we have accepted Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is not the central theme in my life, the thing that rules over me, but if something else is ruling over me, then that becomes my God, you see? Webster Dictionary defines idolatry this way: the religious worship of idols, to blind worship or devotion to something or someone. Then Webster describes idol this way: an image as a statue worshiped as a deity. But biblically speaking, an idol can become anything. Sex can become an idol. Drinking can become an idol. Possessions can become an idol. My wife, my husband, my children, my job can become an idol in my life. You have to have a balance in your life. The balance has to be there in each one of our lives. And the way to determine what you're worshiping is check out what takes up most of your time all day long. You'll know. This is important. A.W. Tozer writes, and he says this about idolatry. He says, "Grace will save a man, but it will not save him and his idol. The blood of Jesus Christ will shield the person that repents alone, but never the sinner and his idol. Faith will justify the sinner, but it never justifies the sinner and his sin." It just doesn't get it. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. And so Paul the Apostle brings to us in verses 14 and 15 some warnings. Some warnings. He says, "Flee idolatry. I speak as a wise man. Judge for yourselves what I am saying to you." You see, first of all, idolatry is described as irrational. Irrational thinking. In Acts 17:29, Paul the Apostle says, "Therefore, since we all are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising." God is a spirit. And those that worship God, worship him in spirit and in truth. But yet, when someone creates a God, they fashion him how? With hands, with eyes, with ears, with mouth, with a nose, with feet. And they even put clothes on him. Because we make our gods like ourselves, you see. This is not the God that we worship. The God that we worship is eternal, is holy in character. And it's amazing because when you actually are speaking of idolatry, idolatry also is described as degrading to the nature of men. Paul the Apostle in Romans 1:22-23 said, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men for birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And what did God do? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I mean, if that's what you want to worship, God will let you worship that. He's not going to force himself upon you. Idolatry is defiling, as we already read in 2 Corinthians 6:15 through 18. Idolatry also will enslave a person to his God. Galatians 4:8-9 says, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you used to serve these which are by nature called gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" These Galatians were returning from grace back to circumcising, and some even back to worship of idols. And Paul says, man, what you're doing is wrong. You're doing it the wrong way. You're enslaving yourself to these gods. And then when he deals with the Lord's Supper in verses 16 through 18 of chapter 10, again, he's describing what the service of God is. Why? Because you see, we don't get the picture here, but in the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he literally tells you that the communion table is a very sacred place. No one should ever take the bread and the cup unless they're born again of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian and you want to partake of communion, Paul still advises that before you take the cup and you take the bread, you need to examine your life before God, how you are living today for Christ. Because if you partake of the cup and the bread in an unworthy manner, God will judge you. If you read on in that passage, he says, this is the reason that some people have become weak, some have become sick, and some have even died physically. Listen to Paul when he says about taking an examination as a believer. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27-32, he says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Notice accountability and responsibility. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat, and then take the cup and drink it. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner is eating and drinking judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Why? You've become one with him. "For this reason, many are weak, some are sick, and among you, and many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the rest of the world." Notice that. If you're really true in your examination before God, then God will not have to what? Judge you. But if you're insincere in your judgment and you're faking it and you play the hypocrite, then God has to step in and judge you. And discipline you. You see? But he mostly concentrates with the sin of idolatry. How these demons were actually living behind these idols or statues that these men and women were worshiping. Look at verses 19 to 22. Now the sin of idolatry here is actually proclaimed. He says, "What am I saying then?" It says, am I getting my point across, Paul says? "That an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything. Rather, that the things which the heathens or the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I, Paul, do not want you Christians to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than he?" Paul says, are you challenging God by playing the hypocrite? Are you greater than he? Or don't you believe that he will judge you when he says in his word? Let me say this to you, that believers are warned not to keep company with idolaters. We already have seen that. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says this, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who's called a Christian, who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. No, don't even have lunch with that person." What do you mean by that? Well, again, it's so hard for people to understand this, but it's so easy. He's not really telling you to cut off fellowship with your brothers and sisters. What he's literally saying is, if you know of a brother or a sister that are living a life of drunkardness or extortioner, ripping people off, or a reviler or an idolater, or is a sexually immoral person or covetous, and you know for a fact that this is his life or her lifestyle, then not only are you take the biblical way of going to them and speaking to them, and if they will not listen, then you take it to what? Two or three more people that are right on to confront him, Matthew 18. And if they don't listen, then you take it to what? To the elders of the church. And then the elders of the church, what he's saying is that what happens is that person is excommunicated, not permanently, forever, until he repents or she repents. Then you can welcome back in fellowship. But as long as you're going to lunch with them and you're fellowshipping with them, what are you doing? You are agreeing with their sin. And how are they going to repent if you don't cut them off? You see? I love you and I'll pray for you, but I cannot fellowship with you. Why? Because if I fellowship with you, I become one with you. And what's going to happen? Satan will also entrap me and make me fall. That's what Paul teaches. You have to be careful. Secondly, not only does Paul warn us about fleeing from idolatry, he told you that in verse 14, flee from idolatry. We're to run away from it. But thirdly here, believers are warned not to have fellowship with any type of idolater. And I already told you what an idolater is. It's not just worshiping of gold, silver, and brass, whatever it may be. It could be anything which you're obsessed by that becomes your God.
We've seen today that while we're far removed from the worship of stone statues, we all are susceptible to the sin of idolatry. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. And if you'd like to hear today's message again, the dangers of idolatry, just call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you a CD copy. Now, to help you recognize any bad habits that are hindering your relationship with the Lord, we'd like to tell you about an important booklet. It's titled Sin, the Root of All Evil. It's a resource that provides a biblical view of how spiritual compromise can subtly seep into our lives and cause incredible damage if it's left unchecked and unrestrained. So don't wait. Get in touch with us to order the booklet titled Sin, the Root of All Evil, and uncover potential areas of weakness you may need to guard against as you pursue a truly God-honoring life. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165. Now, this resource is also available when you write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Well, if you're not already, be sure to follow us on Instagram. With photos and video clips celebrating what God is doing, our Instagram followers enjoy uplifting glimpses of His work on a daily basis. And it's our prayer that every one of these broadcasts touches you in some positive way, and we're encouraged by your feedback. This ministry is also funded solely through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps us keep Ross' daily messages on the air, and every gift is tax deductible. Coming up next time on Somebody Loves Your Radio, we'll get more insights from Scripture that can encourage your heart and help inform your decisions as you meditate on God's truth. Here's Raul now with the final word.
And then believers are actually asked to turn away from this idolatry, especially that is in the world today. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from all your idols and to serve the living and true God." That should be the key. And you know, to tell you the truth, how can I judge you when I know my own self? Seriously. And yet, so many times we're so critical in our judgment toward other brothers and sisters in the Lord, when we should be praying for them. We should be praying for them that they would come to the personal knowledge of repentance and they would turn to the living God once again. Otherwise, they're going to perish. I like what this guy wrote in Unknown. He said this, "The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol may be, help me, God, to tear it from the throne and help me to worship only Thee, O God." God help us today that we may turn only to the living God.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.